because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged down by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Through these words, God's voice is heard. This morning, I want to begin with a story from Max Lucado's book, In the Eye of the Storm. It's about a poor little parakeet named Chippy. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She'd barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's not hard to see why, is it? Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That sure sums up how I feel some days. How about you? Some days just seem to swallow me up and leave me in a place where all I can do is sit and stare, or leave me blindsided by things that happen that I feel I have no control over. I believe this describes the certainty of trials and feelings of powerlessness that trials bring. James reminds us of the reality that even in the Christian life, there are trials and temptations. However, as Christians, we do not have to be a victim of our circumstances, but rather we can have victory even in times of trials and testings. James tells us no matter what the trial on the outside, we can experience victory through faith in Christ. If we consider the facts about trials and temptations, we know that it's not about if they come, but it's about when they come. We can't hide our head in the proverbial sand and not expect them to cross our paths. We do know that not all trials are alike. There are emotional trials, trials at work, physical trials, family trials. Heck, there are even trials within our own church. These are all various types of trials with different levels of intensity. Warren Wiersbe made this observation about not all trials being alike. He says, they are like multicolored yarn that the weaver uses to make a beautiful rug. God arranges and mixes the colors and experiences of life. The final product is a beautiful thing for His glory. Our trials are many-colored indeed. We each face different paths in life leading us to the next chapters, and our lives become a colorful pattern of beauty created to show to the world His masterpiece. Now, when these trials come, we need to consider our response to them in life. James says we should count it as joy when we face trials. We need to evaluate our goals and priorities in life. We need to live for things that matter most, not dwell in the things that don't matter in the bigger picture of life. Our values determine our evaluations and how we respond to things. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the physical and material more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all as joy. If we live for the present and not the future, then trials will make us bitter, not better. And the same could be said for those of us choosing to live in the past. God is performing a work in our lives which causes our faith to grow and be strengthened. God wants us to bring forth fruit in the new life. In order for that to happen, we need to turn away more and more from whatever leads us into temptation and sin. We also need to commit ourselves to being doers of the word. We can and should expect growth in our lives as Christians, and we should be willing to measure that growth according to God's word. We all know people, and maybe we even are those people, who get caught up with the little things that seem big and can't let things go. But in the grand scheme of things, do we need to let it matter so much? When we as Christians endure trials, we know there's compensation both now and ahead. The now produces character, teaches endurance, and grows our patience. The ahead offers a crown of life for those of us who love God. Now, I don't believe that God personally hands out trials for us to sort through in life, but I do believe He walks with us as we sort through these trials with His help, making us grow and mature, helping us to become bigger and better people, giving us faith to carry on. Planting joy and love in our hearts that will motivate us to live, act, share, and grow in a way that is pleasing to Him. You see, love motivates a joyful attitude. We love God, and He loves us and promises to never leave us nor forsake us. And love motivates an understanding mind. God teaches us through our trials as we grow as people, becoming stronger people to do His work in the world. Love also motivates surrendering of our own will. When love reigns, we can surrender all of our fears and angst to the one who loves us most. What we need to determine is where our love is to be found. Is it in God? the one who will continually anchor us in the eye of every storm? Or is it in the world that will continue to tear away at our sails, attempting to knock the life out of us? We know that we will all have days just like poor Chippy. Days when we feel like we can't get ahead no matter what we do. Days that are faced with trials that are sent to test us. Days when it feels like we can't persevere anymore. Days when it feels like it would be so much easier to just throw in the towel. Days that are soured by situations, people, and even ourselves. So what will happen the next time life hands you a lemon? Will you make lemonade? Will you throw it at someone? Will you squeeze the juice into someone's eye? Will you add a little adult beverage and some salt and call it a party? Perhaps what we all need to do is hand it over to the Father of Lights, where every good and perfect gift comes from, trusting that we are never alone walking through life's trials and temptations when we trust in Him, even when we are feeling sucked in, washed up, and blown over.